Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
All the video, all the things that you see and touch around here, you get your brand new order of activities for the summer, all those types of things is done by our creative pastor, and he's going to come in just a minute and bring today's word. We're in the middle of a series on the heroes in the Bible. I'm going to be preaching Peter next week, but I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed hearing these guys preach, and of course, Hannah's going to be preaching in the series as well, so it's just a great, great opportunity to let these young, energetic, very anointed people share their passion. And so would you please stand and put your hands together for this wonderful man of God, Brother Aaron Dearman, come and share the word of the Lord with us this morning.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I'm blessed to be able to speak today. Happy Father's Day. I want to shout out to my dad. Dad, if you'd stand up, this is my father, Alan. You know, legacy is a word that's used amongst family, and I think it's really cool that the legacy for the Dearman family is a foundation of faith. Amen. All the Dearman men that there are, they love Jesus, and at least the ones that I know. I'm sure there's some in some other part of the world that we might be on Facebook friends or something, but all the immediate men, my uncles, my grandfather, they all serve the Lord. So I'm really thankful for that, Dad, so I appreciate that. So give it up for my dad one more time. So we are in our series, Bible Heroes. Pretty cool. I like to watch superhero shows. I just finished The Flash, the next season that was on Netflix. Anybody superhero kind of fans? And I find it interesting that I think all of us have a deep desire down deep to at least be able to accomplish something, to be significant. And so what I did is on Facebook, I don't know if you saw my post, but I asked you all, what would be your favorite superpower? If you could pick one superpower, what would it be? And I wrote them down. You ready? See if one of these is yours. To read minds. To see in the future. Flying without a cape. Flash-like speed. Teleportation. Invisibility. I don't hide well behind things, so that would be kind of fun. Telekinesis. Super strength, the ability, check this one out. This one was really well thought out. The ability to pause time without aging during that time and being able to take someone with you in that unpaused state. Let that sink in. That's really well thought out. To be able to clone myself, get a lot of work done that way. Ability to read women, this is my uncle. Ability to read women's minds so that I'd be able to win an argument. And my aunt replied, and she said, in your dreams. To blink and be skinny. It doesn't work. The ability to lose weight without effort. The ability to heal myself and others mentally, physically, and spiritually. And to be Wonder Woman. That was a very specific one by my wife. To be Wonder Woman. Unfortunately, we don't have those superpowers. It would be really nice to be able to blink and be skinny. It'd be really nice to be able to see in the future, to see what God has planned for you. Wouldn't that be nice? Say, God, what am I supposed to do? Okay, I'll do it. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit a little bit more than that superpower. Right. We can't run like the Flash, although the person we're talking about today, Elijah, he actually did, and I'll share about that. And I cannot read my wife's mind, and it's probably a good thing that I can't. So I'd know how she really feels. Hallelujah. I love you. However, since we don't have superpowers, what's the next best thing? You know, it's nice to be able to have some money, to be able to accomplish things. You know, people think that if you have a ton of money, you can do whatever you want. But how many of you know there's some rich people who aren't happy? Hallelujah. And there's some poor people who are. So one of the things that we can do to accomplish is to operate with a purpose. Everybody say purpose. The truth is that God has given us all a purpose in life, and whether you know it or not, he has something prepared for you. The prophet Elijah was a man who heard the voice of God through two ways. One was through the angel of the Lord, Scripture says, and the other was literally God's voice. How many of you would like to hear God's voice? Wouldn't that be crazy? But first, I want to talk about purpose today. And before I talk about that, I want to say that Elijah was a prophet, and God answered every single one of his prayers except for one. Could you imagine that? Every prayer that you ever prayed was answered except for one, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Everybody say, Elijah was sent. This was Elijah's purpose. Israel, you guys remember King David? During King David's rule, Israel was good. Everybody's loving the Lord. Everything's going well. God is the one true God. It only took 104 years for King Ahab to take rule. He was known as one of the most evil kings of Israel. It only took 104 years. How many of you guys know that it doesn't take long to spiritually cut corners? It literally, a whole kingdom. He did so much work. He killed Goliath. He beat the Philistines. Scripture records every single army that he slaughtered that was against God. Then he says, okay, we're all good. Everybody good? He dies, and then it only took 104 years after David's death and his leadership for Israel to fall. What happened was they started to raise taxes as well. We all know about that. God bless Illinois. They started to raise taxes, and what Israel did, you know, we think kind of about the Boston Tea Party. You know, the king kept raising taxes, and everybody said, we're out. What Israel did is the tribes got together, and they decided, we're done paying taxes, and they left. So Israel split in two, northern Israel and southern Israel, and King Ahab was of the north. It doesn't take long to spiritually cut those corners. Losing your purpose as a child of God is an invitation for sin to take over. When you're not busy doing something what the Lord has called you to do, it takes just an instant. It doesn't take 104 years. You know, it takes maybe a day for you to lose your purpose and to say, I'm done. And then everything that you stood for, everything that you worked for is all for naught. One of the things I want you to understand today is that the days that you get in trouble are typically the days you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Those days where you have a purpose. Yesterday, it's hot outside. Let's all agree on that. We hit summer real hard yesterday. And I knew that I wanted to trim the bushes in front of my house. And Kelly graciously, she blessed me with a gift, and she gave me a pair of her trimmers that I could have. So I appreciate that, Kelly. And so yesterday morning, I wake up, and I said to myself, I better get out there before it gets hot, because I'm a man that sweats. I'm really familiar with sweating. It's part of my life. Some of you were laughing because, you know, it's true. And I took the trimmers, but I waited till about 11 o'clock. I did the wrong thing. And so I went there at 11 o'clock, and I said to myself, it'd be okay. There's a little bit of shade. And so I get it. I plug it in. And, of course, the bush in front of my house must be 200 years old because the stinking twigs on it are huge. And so I'm like, no, 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 no. I was out there. How long was I out there? Hour and a half trimming one bush. And I am drenched in sweat. Golly, the neighbor comes out. You know it's bad when the neighbor comes out twice during the duration of what you're doing. She came out one time and she's like, got to trim those bushes. She said, it's hot though. I said, yeah, you're right. She disappears. She comes back out 30 minutes later and leaves. She's like, still trimming them bushes. I said, yeah. You know it's bad when your neighbor lets you know that you've been out there for too long. So I was just absolutely drenched. I waited too long. I wanted to eat breakfast. I worked on my message for a little bit, played with the kids. I was like, oh, I got to get out there. I was soaked. If I had just done it when I was supposed to do it, at 8 a.m., that was my goal. I know some of you guys are like, it's 5 a.m. At 8 a.m., I'm a millennial still. I got to give me some credit. I should have gone out there and done it. Well, God has a purpose in our lives, and it's oftentimes when we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, that is when we get in trouble. Amen? Another thing that God gave me this week is that boredom delays breakthrough. when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. God, I want a breakthrough in my life. I want my finances to change. Well, are you working? God, I want my bushes to be trimmed. Are you out there trimming them? Whatever it is in your life, your relationships. God, I want better relationships. Well, if you're sitting on your hind end on the couch complaining on Facebook about your relationships, nothing's going to break through, amen? We're going to preach today. I'm very excited. Oh, goodness. I'll get back to my message. Thank you, Jesus. Have you guys ever seen a man or a woman on a mission? One of my first jobs, I was a janitor. Hallelujah. Made some money sweeping some floors, and I was good at it. My first day as a janitor, I was filling in for some part-time work during Christmas time. I wanted some extra Christmas cash. I go into this middle school. This is down in Belleville, Illinois, and I'm down working at the middle schools there, and I'm sweeping the floors, and he said, all right, you got to be here for 8 hours and do all your work. I said, you got it, man. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it right. And so I'm working, and I sweep out every room. I mop every floor, and I look at the clock, and it's been an hour and a half. I said, So I called him. He'd already left to go home with his family. I said, I'm done. He said, you're supposed to make it last, man. I said, what do you mean make it last? He said, you got 8 hours of work. Sweep slowly. I said, I just can't do it. So I kept, every day I came back, it took me an hour and a half to 2 hours to get everything done. And finally he says, Aaron, this is what you need to do. Look determined and walk really fast. Everybody will think you're busy. I said, what do you mean? He said, try it. So I get a determined look. Everybody get a determined look on your face. It looks like I'm on a mission. I got stuff to do. And I just walk down the hallways. Hey. And everyone's like, man, he's a really hard worker. Needless to say, I got my work done, and then I had fun with it too. You see, this wasn't an issue for Elijah. Elijah had plenty of work to do. Elijah's purpose was clear, and that was his motivation. He walked with authority. This is what I love. He went to King Ahab. He said, listen, God wants you to turn this stuff around. You got to get it done. God's voice to Ahab was his purpose, was his determination, and allowed him to get things done. You know, my wife and I, we've been on a financial journey. Anybody can relate? Finances are the one thing in life that you kind of always have to work on. There's no magical thing that you do where your finances just work themselves out. So 6 months ago, my wife and I, we decided for the second time in our marriage, we're going to budget right. We're going to get it done. And can somebody say amen? We're going to get it done the right way. So we downloaded the apps, and we watched the YouTube channel, and all the things that you're supposed to do, and we got our budget done. And for 6 months, we have been budgeting with a purpose. And every time I want to go buy a new iPad, hallelujah, anytime I want to go buy a big Lazy Boy recliner to fit myself in, I remind myself, I'm on a budget. What it does is, when you have a purpose, you get things done. Ariel and I, we've been killing it. I love my wife. She's been a huge help. When you're married, you can't do it just by yourself. You got to do it with your spouse. Someone needs to hear that today. Well, when you find your purpose, you're able to walk in power. And if your purpose, your current purpose, aligns with the will of God, you don't have to rely on your own flesh for it to happen. You rely on the Holy Spirit to make it last. Amen. If you're working hard, if you're budgeting, and say, Lord, my money is yours, you're tithing to God, you're giving him that 10%, it is incredible. Someone say incredible. Incredible how you look at your books and you go, yeah, we're doing all right. It's amazing that when you align yourself with the word of God, your purpose has a little bit of power. Amen? But the other side that I want to discuss is those who know their purpose but are sitting on their hands. Amen? Let me get this stool. This stool is more decorative than it is functional, in my opinion, as a large man. If I went to Hobby Lobby and saw a sales sticker for 95% off, I'd go, nope, I don't need it. The purpose of this is more so decorative, but when I sit on it, now my skinny friends, they like it, but when I sit on it, I can last here for a good minute, right? I can sacrifice a little bit of my comfort to look like I'm enjoying it. But the truth is, After about 10 minutes of sitting on this stool, I'm not going to like it anymore. 10 minutes is going to go by, and I'm going to start shifting my weight. You ever see someone do this? They're at the picnic, or they're working at Aldi's, and they got those weird chairs, and they're sitting there, beep, 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 and they're shifting their weight, and they're trying to figure out what's supposed to happen here, and they're trying to work it out. Oftentimes, when we have a purpose, we're sitting on this stool, and until the discomfort of this chair, until the pain of this chair is great enough, I'm not going to change. I am not going to get up until my butt says, no more. I can't take it. So when I finally decide to get up, and I decide that this pain is not worthy of my time, it's not worthy of my energy, I'm actually motivated to move. So if you have a purpose, a lot of you have been in the church a long time, and you have heard the purpose for your life multiple times, and you go, I don't know if that's for me. You know you're supposed to go on a missions trip and go save some babies and go build some schools. You say, that's not for me. God, you don't know my finances. Okay. You know that your purpose is to go be in ministry, but you won't pick up the Bible. You know that you're supposed to be a good parent, but you won't play with your kids. Whatever your purpose is for your life, until that pain, everybody say pain. Until that pain is greater than the pain it is to change, you're not going to move. Amen? Hallelujah. My wife and I were talking about this, and she said, Aaron, it's almost like you can be restless while you rest. You can be in a state of restlessness as you're resting. So I challenge you today, if you got a purpose for your life and God has told you, I challenge you to get your warm hands out from your chair and to put some work into it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I don't know. Somebody need to hear that too. I need to hear that.
Amen.
Elijah knew his purpose, but I truly believe what made him so passionate about his calling is that he was discontent. Everybody say discontent. With what was happening. He was so uncomfortable with the way things were that he was not going to stop until there is a change. Listen, I don't know, before we move on, I don't know what your purpose is. I'm not a great prophet that hears the voice of God clearly in my mind every minute. But God has given you a purpose. The enemy knows, Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for your life and it's for you to succeed. But you need to know that the enemy knows the Bible probably better than I do. If that is the only tool against you, you're going to know it, amen? He's like Bill Belichick. He's got the playbook for the other team. I had to. The enemy, my father-in-law's clapping, I appreciate it. The enemy knows the playbook. And so if you're confused about why your purpose isn't lining up and why the plans God has for you don't seem really clear, you just need to get... You just need to trust the Lord, and he'll guide your path. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. King Ahab ignores Elijah. Elijah knew how evil King Ahab was, and to get Ahab's attention, he told him that there would be a drought, no water. Ahab still wouldn't listen, and it takes him how many years? 3 years for Elijah to take matters into his own hands once again. What we see here is that Elijah became discontent. And there's power in discontentment. There's a difference between being discontent with your life. Oh, God, I just don't make enough, and my job isn't whatever, and my kids are crazier than the neighbor's kids, and I just wish that you would make a way where there seems to be no way, and you start reciting scripture about why you're discontent. That's not the discontentment I'm talking about. The discontentment I'm talking about is when you see someone not doing what they're supposed to do, and you get discontent. What are you doing? You know, when I see my kids... They love crayons, God bless them. And you guys already know, I'm not alone, thank you, Lord. Well, they also have markers. And there's special markers that you can wash, and but at the end of the day, they're still markers.
Yeah.
And seeing my kid go along the wall with that marker, I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know you're not supposed to do that. And, that is a discontentment that I'm talking about. Elijah finds a discontentment. King Ahab was coloring on the wall. Hallelujah. If you would, turn to me with 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen behind me. 1 Kings chapter 18. verses 25 and 26. I love the Old Testament. You know, it's really easy to study the New Testament. A lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of goodness, and but there's some really foundational things in the Old Testament that we need to apply to our lives. In verse 25 of chapter 18, it says, "Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood.'" What we're seeing here is that the prophet Elijah became discontent with Ahab. It hasn't rained for 3 years, and he's still not listening to the voice of God. So he challenges him. He challenges him. He says, "Listen, King Baal, you've got your prophets of a false god, 450. You got your prophets. What I want you to do is to gather everybody who's hanging out, and we're going to meet up on the hill. And we're going to see if some fire can come down." So he says, "Prepare all of it. Do not set fire to the wood." In verse 26, he says, "So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they came on the name of the Baal. They called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, 'O Baal, answer us.' But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made." I'm not going to read any more of that because it's really clear what they did. They even started cutting themselves. They did everything that they could possibly think of to make their false god bring down fire. So imagine with me, there's an altar, and you've killed a bull. The bull is on the altar, and then they start praying, "Let fire fall on the sacrifice." So they did that all the way until evening. And what I love about Elijah, that he was a savage, he said, "Oh, is your God indisposed?" And let's translate it to 2018. He asked if their God was on the toilet. And that was pretty cool. I like Elijah. I think it's cool. We'd hang out. You know, it's pretty cool. "Oh, your God, he's not sending down fire, probably because he's on the toilet." In verse 36, at the usual time for offering, in the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed. So it's been all day. Everybody say all day.
All day.
Everybody's tired. Some dudes are actually dead because they cut themselves 8 hours ago. And it's busy. We're here all day. He says, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all of this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you are God. You are Lord, our God, and that you have brought them back to yourself." Verse 38, here's the action. "Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, 'The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord, he is God.'" They had even built a trench around his altar. He said, "Build a trench," and he had them get 3 gallons of water and poured it through the trench, and the fire of God burned so hot that it sucked up all that water. That's a hot fire. You see, fire always falls on sacrifice. He made a sacrifice before he made a sacrifice, in that he went to King Ahab, the king, the most evil king. This is an evil dude. He says, "Listen, I challenge you." How many of you guys know you don't do that? It's like going up to the biggest guy in the room and say, "I'm going to fight you," and you're only 3 feet tall. It's like David and Goliath. There's so many stories in Scripture where the odds were unmatched, unevenly matched, and he said, "I challenge you." So he made a sacrifice before he made his sacrifice. He made a private sacrifice before the public sacrifice. How many of you guys know that there's things inside of us that we have to give up? We have to put it on the altar. I know that oftentimes in my life, when I feel like the fire of God is not falling on me, what I mean by that is his grace, his blessing, my relationship with him. When I feel distant from God, oftentimes it's because I have nothing on the altar of my life. It's just empty. Imagine this is your altar, and it's just clear. God's saying, "What do you want me to put fire on? There's literally nothing there." And so I have to challenge myself, somebody say amen, to make sure that I have something on the altar, okay? The pain of Israel remaining the same was greater than the pain of change. Hallelujah. The sacrifice that I talk about when I say you need to put a sacrifice on the altar, oftentimes people can get confused with giving a sacrifice for forgiveness. In Scripture, before Jesus came and fulfilled the covenant and became the ultimate sacrifice, if you had sin in your life, you had to make a sacrifice. That's not the sacrifice I'm talking about. The sacrifice that I'm talking about today is you get up in the morning, and before you check Facebook, before you get a glass of water, whatever you do, you say, Lord, today is your day. My job is yours today. My family is yours today. My finances, yesterday and today, they're yours today. Those are daily sacrifices that you can make. That's a private sacrifice. You don't have to get any recognition for that. You don't have to put it on YouTube. You don't have to go Facebook Live. Today I'm making a sacrifice. No, you need to make that a private sacrifice between you and the Lord. So I challenge myself, and I don't do it every day. I'm going to be honest. You know, I mess up. But it is a challenge for myself, and I hope that it's a challenge for you that you will take on to say, I'm going to make a daily sacrifice. Amen? You know, it's a pretty foreign concept to sacrifice, to give stuff up. You know, God is like a... I've been listening to Dave Ramsey because I've been all finances. You guys know about it. I've been all finances, so I'm listening to this dude who knows everything, about every dollar and currency and stock mutual funds and Bitcoin and God bless all that. But when I thought about this today, to give up yourself, God is like a good growth stock mutual fund. You know what I mean? Just think about it for a second. You know, what you use those for is you want your money to grow on its own. You want your money to grow without your effort. And what you do is that when you give up, you actually grow up. When you give up your life, when you give up your finances grow. When you give up your family grows. Your kids know about Jesus. I want to make sure that I continue the legacy in my family so that my son, JJ, when he grows up, he loves Jesus. You know, that's a sacrifice, but that takes a daily sacrifice. That takes a sacrifice to know that my son is always watching me. My daughter is always watching me. So if I'm goofing around, you know, living in boredom, not getting my breakthrough, and my son sees me slacking, that's not good. So I want to make sure that I give that to God so that he can grow it. Amen. And Stetson, if you'd come up here and minister on the piano. I want you to understand today that Elijah was sent by God. That was his purpose. Elijah was sent by God. The second thing I want you to know is that Elijah became discontent. And that was a call to action. And God is calling you to a call of action today to be discontent with the sin in your life, to be discontent with the way things are going. And until your Christian walk, it's uncomfortable enough like this chair to change, you're not going to change. Finally, the unanswered prayer. I find it interesting that a prophet of God, the last one left after Jezebel, who was King Ahab's wife, she had killed all the prophets of God. She was something else, man. She was a monster. She said, I'm going to kill all of them. The last remaining prophet, you would think God would answer every prayer that he had, right? You would think that the one guy on earth that's hearing the voice of God clear as day, as if he's talking to him on the cell phone, you would think that God would answer every one of his prayers. After the altar had been lit up with flames, Elijah said to everybody who watched, he said, get them. They gathered every false prophet that was there, and they slaughtered all of them. God is a just God. Amen. Pastor Eric preached on God being just. And what it does is it kind of opens your eyes. I don't know who God is to you or what God looks like when you close your eyes or when you pray at night and you say, God, I need a breakthrough. But when I see God, I see a just God. I see a God that's always there for me. But my question is, how come Elijah had an unanswered prayer? So after the fire fell, Elijah ran all the way back to where they had started. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, 3 through 4, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life because Queen Jezebel had put a bounty on his head. She said, this is the last one. Let's get him. Elijah heard it. He was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there, and he went on alone. Everybody say alone. Into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. It got real. He prayed. The fire just fell from heaven. This dude ran. And now the next thing in his life is saying, God, I'm done. Has anybody ever reached that moment? He said, God, I'm just done. I'm done, God. You see all the stuff I've been doing? I'm absolutely done. You know, sometimes we have relationships where we're just done. You know, that friendship or that relationship. You say, listen, this isn't healthy anymore. I gave all that I had. I'm literally spent. I have no more to give. Elijah says, after he sat down underneath the tree, I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. I mean, that's something else. You walk with God. You talk with God. He comes in a big way, and the next words out of your mouth are, I'm done. You see, we live in a world today where we're seeing suicide, we're seeing anxiety, depression. All of that is becoming normal. It's literally on the news. Last week, two celebrities died. They killed themselves. And I want to be clear today, so I'm not misunderstood, that I do understand that there are chemical imbalances that exist. Some people need the medication given to them to function well. I get it. I'm all for doctors. God has blessed us with doctors who are knowledgeable and can help us out with our sicknesses. But I'm not talking about a chemical imbalance today. What I'm talking about is emotional invitation to depression. What I'm talking about is what Elijah did. He was so worked up. He had so much energy. It was all expelled. He was sent. He was discontent. And then he became spent. How many times have we become spent in life? What Elijah did, he sat down under a tree. He wasn't even in a house. He was outside in the heat. He sat down in the dirt and said, I'm done, Lord. Kill me. And that was the one unanswered prayer from God. How many of you are grateful for that? That God did not answer that prayer. Elijah allowed his emotions to just destroy him. Jezebel said, I'm coming for you. And it just destroyed him. And it took me so much time studying this. Like, why? If you're walking with God on fire, Phil, why is this destroying you? What happened is he took his eyes off of God. I think about Peter on the boat. He steps out on the water, and he's like, whoa. And he's stepping out. And then what does he do? He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at the water. He looks at his anxiety. He looks at his depression. He looks at his scaredness, his fear. And he says, this is greater than me. And he starts to sink. Elijah took his eyes off of God. And that should be encouraging to you today in the sense that if you're not calling down fire and everybody you touch doesn't get healed, that's okay that you're getting emotional, that you're getting to a place where you say, God, I'm done. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we invite the emotional state of depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts like Elijah did. And I have had anxiety in my life. I've been depressed about things that have happened to me. I thank God that it's not something that I deal with every day. But I have to remind myself that when things change, when my life rearranges and things don't go the way that I've asked God for them to go, when I have an unanswered prayer because he knows that's not the right thing for my life, when I'm following his will and he lets me know that my will isn't his will, when I'm reminded of that, I have to remind myself not to do that. So my question for you today, what are the Jezebels in your life? And I'm not talking about a crazy woman. I'm talking about, she was. What I'm talking about is, what is that situation that comes up after you're doing everything great? You're doing everything. You're sticking on the line. You're doing the right thing. You're living righteously. Your kids love Jesus. Your finances love Jesus. Your friends love Jesus. You love Jesus. Your job represents Jesus. What is that Jezebel thing that happens that just messes you up? What is that thing that just slaps you upside the face and says, you're no good anymore? God doesn't love you. What is that thing? So I want everybody to close their eyes today. We're going to finish this up. But that is a personal investigation of the heart. That's not something that I can tell you. So everybody close their eyes and ask yourself, ask the Lord, what are the Jezebels in my life? Take a second. I finished a little early so we can get through this. What are the Jezebels in your life? What is that thing that keeps hitting you upside the head, knocking you off the horse, and just emotionally wrecking you? Ariel and I got a Jezebel in the mail the other day. We've been doing really good on our finances, and we've been paying our bills and just killing debt like crazy. And we keep getting these stupid medical bills, like for $50 or $100 or like $300. It's like, for what? Like, I already paid, both my kids are paid off, hallelujah. That sounds weird. But I paid the hospital for both my kids, all the checkups, everything. Why are we still getting, nobody's sick? Why are we still getting Jezebels in the mail? And the last one was for $1,000. And I went, hold up. What is going on? And so it knocked me a little silly. I grabbed the piece of mail and I took it to Ariel and I said, the random bill of the month. And I threw it on the couch. And I had that moment, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Am I alone in that? I had that moment where I said, doesn't God know that I'm working on my finances? God, I have the app. I'm logging everything. Don't you know? And then my wife, she's always my rock. She said, yeah, well, we'll give them a call. So we called the hospital and let them know what had happened. And it was for, my daughter was born 10 weeks early. And she was in the NICU for a while, about a month. And they gave us a free service to check up on her once a year for 3 years. And she just turned 3, so we went for the final checkup. Your daughter doesn't need speech therapy. Your daughter doesn't need occupational therapy. Your daughter doesn't need anything. And that was the fire falling from heaven, amen? And then we get hit with a stupid bill for it, for the free service. And I said to my wife, I need you to call, because you're nice on the phone. Niceness gets you places, amen? When you display the Spirit of God, things happen. So she called, and they're like, we are so sorry that happened. We're going to investigate it for you. They were supposed to call us on Wednesday. They haven't called me, so I'm just praying that we don't have to pay it, you know? But that was just an actual situation of a Jezebel. I don't know what your Jezebels are, but I hope you identified those, okay? So what I want to do today, identified those. And you know what's interesting? I allow Jezebels in my life. Sometimes we allow that sin to live with us. We give it a chair. We give it a name. We feed it. And the strange thing is, when we finally get caught in our sin, we have something to blame. You know what I'm saying? Well, I deal with that sometimes. No, it's sitting in your house. No, that's here. No, I know it's here. Get rid of it. Oftentimes we allow those Jezebels. You know, some people that might be bad relationships. Well, I'm just bad at relationships. Well, you have unforgiveness living in your living room. Well, I'm just bad at talking with people, and you know, they get to know me and then they hate me. Well, did you forgive your dad? Did you forgive that past boyfriend or girlfriend? That I'm just trying to get some practical. You guys know what it is in your life. You know, maybe it's overspending. Oh, I needed that. I used to tell my youth pastor that I interned under, I needed that new pair of shoes. He said, you needed what? I said, I needed those Air Maxes. They were calling me, and I needed to buy those new shoes. He said, what's wrong with your old shoes? I said, nothing. I needed them. He said, you didn't need anything. You just wanted them. Overspending. Whatever that Jezebel is. We're going to move on here. It's time to tell your Jezebel situation what your purpose is. You know, Miles preached 2 weeks ago. He said, you need to tell your situation how big your God is. Well, if you know your purpose in your life, when you know your purpose in your life, it's amazing how you can tell your Jezebel, listen, I'm destined to be a millionaire because God told me I was going to be a millionaire. And I'm going to buy people everything they need. And I'm going to pay for orphans. And we're going to buy stuff. We're going to bless people. So get out of my life. It's real, y'all. And I'm discontent with the status quo. I'm discontent with those Jezebels. God has a purpose for me, and I'm not going to wait any longer. I want to throw something. I don't want to throw it, though. It's my natural inclination to be physical. I blame it on football and Miles. That helped me stop crying. That's good. So everybody close your eyes for the final time today. Then we're going to dismiss. You identified those Jezebels. Listen, I don't know what your purpose is. I don't know what your calling is. God has that for you. For some of you, you think that you're supposed to have this great, astonishing purpose and call for your life. But maybe God just wants you to be a good mom. What if that's your purpose? Because your daughter's going to grow up to be some amazing woman. Maybe your purpose is just to be a good dad, fathers, on Father's Day. Play with your kids. Allow that purpose in your life to be something that you can be proud of, that your kid can look back when he's preaching on the stage and say, my family loved the Lord, and that's why I love the Lord. So, those Jezebels, tell them right now, I'm a child of God. Say it out loud. I'm a child of God. You don't know me. You don't know my God. I'm a child of God, and I am finished. I am absolutely discontent. God has sent me, and I am discontent with sin. I am discontent with those stupid bills. I'm discontent with those bad relationships. I'm discontent with that unforgiveness, God. Lord, I do not want to feed it any longer. It does not have a name. It does not have a seat in my house or at my dinner table. I'm not working hard to support that anymore. Father, we give our Jezebels to you today. Father, we're done. Our prayer is similar to Elijah, that we are done, but we're not out for the count, Lord. Lord, we are spent. We are tired of being tired of the way that things are going, and we do not accept the devil's play in our life. He might know the playbook, but we know the author of the book. So, Father, I just pray that you would intervene in our lives. Holy Spirit, that you would walk with us as we leave today. That Father's Day wouldn't just be a day to cook out and have fun and celebrate dads, but it would be a day that I can look back and say, that's the day that I gave up those Jezebels in my life. That's the day that I put myself on the altar so that the fire of God could come down. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming out today. I want to challenge you. God just gave this to me. Don't be alone. Stop living in isolation. If Elijah had had somebody to talk him out of that, besides the Lord, maybe he wouldn't be in that boat. Amen. Find somebody to do life with. Stop being, for the love of God, stop it. Do life with somebody. Find a connect group. And find somebody to do life with. Say, I want to be vulnerable to you and tell you what I'm doing. Would you be vulnerable with me? Tell me what you're doing. And we can do life together and we can beat the devil in the face. Amen? Hallelujah. Thanks for coming out today. Happy Father's Day.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.